Please join me as we begin this Bible study session tonight, as we bow our heads and pray together. And I'm going to use prayers that Matthew Henry compiled some years ago, meaningful, and just asking God to make us aware of his presence, even as we study the scriptures tonight. So please bow your heads with me. Our God, you are God, a God at hand and never far away. None can hide himself in some secret place where you cannot see him, for you fill heaven and earth. You are not far from any one of us. We will never escape your presence or elude your spirit. If we ascend to the heaven, you are there. If we make our bed in the earth's depths, there you are. If we fly away on the outstretched wings of the morning's rays or sail to the uttermost parts of the sea's expanse, even there your hand shall lead us and your right hand shall sustain us. And so we do pray, our Father, that your presence be felt among us, that as we look into your word, as we seek to understand another spiritual gift, that we would live day by day in the outworking of all the gifts that you have given us as we live out lives to the glory of your name. We come together in the name of Jesus and standing on all that he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. So bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue our study tonight in some of the spiritual gifts that are listed for us in Romans chapter 12, and do remember that the chapter begins with the appeal of reaching back into the mercies of God and not being conformed to the patterns of this world, but by the renewing of our mind, constantly being transformed and worshiping God in ways that please him. So we moved on in the passage. There's been some challenges along the way in terms of adjusting our thinking patterns. But tonight again, and I want to pick it up in verse 6, I'm going to read the particular section to us, but we are going to focus on the one gift of leadership that is mentioned in verse 8. But follow with me from verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So I want to begin and found a question that a particular British general by the name of Charles Gordon, once asked a Chinese leader, a leader by the name of Li Hung Chang. Not sure my pronunciation over there, but the question and the answer is really what I'm wanting us to consider tonight. And two questions. What is leadership? What is leadership? That's question number one. And the second question is, how is humanity divided? Two good questions for us to think about as we introduce the topic here tonight. The Chinese leader responded by combining his answer or combining both answers into one statement of those questions. And this is what he said. There are three kinds of people. Now, of course, good for us to think about people that we know, people around us. Three kinds of people. Those who are immovable. Those who are movable, and those who move them. I found that to be a good way of thinking about leadership. And the reason being is that leadership is all about influence, influencing people and to move them from one particular place to another place, whether it be in geography, whether it be in ideology or theology or thinking or vision, but it's moving people. The ability to influence one person, to influence another, and those to follow, leading, influencing, and seeing the change coming about in those that follow. We do need to see that people are led at various levels of society in different circumstances, and we see this across different cultures, different religions, and even across generations. Our interest tonight is leadership in the local church and leadership amongst God's people. So how do we understand this gift? And asking the question along the way, do you have this gift of leadership? Well, remember that we defined the nature of the church, or the Bible has defined the nature of the church as a body. And a body has diverse members, and all these members belong to one another. And Paul, in this passage, urging all of us believers to use the gifts, the spiritual gifts. Verse 8, the one who leads, the particular gift that we're looking at tonight, to do so with zeal. So there are those in the church, and we need to thank God for that. There are those in our church, at Central Baptist Church, that God has provided, that God has enabled with the ability to lead. And so to ask that question tonight as we consider the study, do you have the spiritual gift of leadership? Now, as we explore this topic tonight, I want to use the illustration of shooting and start thinking about hunters and the thought of us having some hunters at Central Baptist Church. We have some men who go away from time to time. They go out into the veld and they're involved in hunting different animals. Well, one could ask those who have a love for rifles and shooting and hunting whether they have the ability to shoot using their rifles accurately and efficiently. And we know that there will be those who will answer and say, yes, they're very good at this. They can shoot accurately, they can shoot efficiently, they can take a buck down at some distance, 100 meters, 200 meters, and they can get biltong hanging up for them to eat later on. So they would be good shots at what they do. Now, that kind of ability, we stand back and we can applaud that kind of ability. We recognize the giftedness, the talent that they have, and the usefulness of that particular gift. I want us to think about a different kind of shooting. There are people who are sharp shooters in the sphere of the military. There are those who operate in the underworld, and they are able to shoot accurately, and they're able to shoot efficiently. They're able to take down a unsuspecting person, again, at 100 meters or 300 meters or 500 meters. An example that came to my mind was the American president, JF Kennedy. It was somebody who was a good shot who killed him and changed what we would understand from our point of view as people, the course of American history. That kind of shooting, we would conclude, not to be commendable, but abhorrent, to be undesired. It's not something we want to commend. I use that illustration because I want us to think of leadership in those terms. And I have a sub-point here that we can explore now, that we need to understand that leadership can be constructive, but it can also be destructive. It can be good, and it can also cause much harm, even in the context of the local church. So leadership, like shooting, can be used for good. That's the reason for the illustration. Then it is commendable, but leadership can also be present and active and destructive. And if I think back in the course of my ministry over the years, people have been influenced in a destructive and negative way by people who have influenced them, people who have led them not closer to the Lord, but away from the Lord and away from the church. We're not talking just about any kind of leadership tonight. We are talking, and the passage before us is speaking about leadership, the spiritual gift of leadership, which is to be used in the church. And so Paul commands those who have this ability to lead and to do so with zeal. Spiritual leadership must be used, and right from the outset to point out that this is not just a natural ability. Just some comments, comparison of lining up the natural ability of leadership and then opposite to line up the spiritual gift of leadership. And I've just jotted down different thoughts that I could think of. The natural leader is somebody who is identified as self-confident. Spiritual leader finds his or her confidence in God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The natural leader understands people. The spiritual leader understands people, but also is very mindful of God, knows God. The spiritual leader is someone who seeks to do God's will, whereas the natural leader is consumed with satisfying his or her own will. So do you see the difference that comes in over here? The natural leader enjoys to be in command, whereas the spiritual leader delights in obedience to God. And so we can go on. The one is independent, the other one is dependent on God. The one is ambitious, the other one is humble. So natural leaders, not all of them, but some of the natural leaders that come into the church, there is a risk of them exercising leadership that is harmful. Leadership that would be destructive when they exert their influence in the local church. Real progress in the work of gospel ministry, real growth in the local church, doesn't come from the exercise of natural leadership. Rather, it must include the spiritual gift of leadership. If you think about religious circles in the broader context, not just in Christianity, but there have been those very, very capable, strong leaders who have influenced people and led them down pathways of error into different religions. We have Muhammad, must have been extremely capable, an ability to influence people, leading people of his own generation, leading people down through the centuries through his writings and influence into false religion. And it's not just Islam, but we can identify other big groups of people, Mormonism, in our own continent or on our own continent, the African independent churches are led by influential leaders. Is that the spiritual gift of leadership or is that the natural gift of leadership? And sadly, I remember as a young person, I've mentioned this often in the course of the ministry at Central, the great tragedy where a whole group of people committed mass suicide under the leadership of Jim Jones. Some of you will remember that. So we at Central are not looking for powerful natural leaders. We want leaders who have this gift that Paul identifies in the book of Romans. We must be on the lookout for godly leaders, leaders with the spiritual gift of leadership. We need to look for them. We need to appoint them. We're coming up to an annual general meeting just in a few weeks' time. We will again be appointing some deacons and some elders, and our consideration all the time must be, do these men qualify? Do they have the spiritual gift of leadership? Which takes me to my next point. I've simply called it spotting, identifying the spiritual gift of leadership. What do you think? As you sit listening, perhaps in a group, perhaps on your own, what is that major underlying principle that should be easily recognizable in someone who has this spiritual gift of leadership? It is a principle that we often speak of in the life of the church. It's terminology that we're familiar with, that we use. It is certainly something we need to have present in the life of the church. It's a principle that needs to be functioning among us in the local church. One would think, reading the New Testament, even reading the Old Testament, in the community of faith, one would expect the word leadership to appear repeatedly and regularly and often. And yet it doesn't, which surprises me somewhat, because in our own day and age, there's so many books written for us leaders in the church on leadership. Just to give you an example, who was one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament? Recognized throughout the Old Testament era, recognized even in the New Testament era, it's Moses. Moses, there's no doubt that in many people's minds, even identified for us in the Bible, he led the people of God, he influenced the people of God, he must have had this spiritual gift of leadership. How is he identified? Does God speak of him as Moses, my leader? Doesn't do that. Moses, my servant. Moses, my servant. Therein lies the underlying principle of the spiritual gift of leadership. It's servant leadership. What about Jesus? We Christians would readily admit that Jesus is the greatest leader that there ever was on this earth. No one more powerful than Jesus. Even today, we see his influence 2,000 years after his life on earth, before he was resurrected and ascended into heaven. His influence continues to affect the lives of so many people amongst so many places and cultures and countries of the world. How did Jesus identify himself? Luke chapter 22, verse 27. I am among you as one who leads. No, I am among you as one who serves. God speaking through his prophet Isaiah. There are a number of passages in Isaiah that speaks about the servant of the Lord, pointing forward to the coming of Jesus. And just looking at Isaiah chapter 42, the first three verses, tells us something. It reveals something to us of the nature and attitude of the coming Messiah, who is the servant of the Lord. And I'll just touch on some of them. Well, we noticed in this passage that he is dependent on the Father to uphold him. See, there isn't self-sufficiency even in Jesus. He depends on the Father. He understands his need of the Father. He enjoys the favor and approval of his Father. He wants to please his Father. The passage actually speaks there, my chosen in whom my soul delights. He knows the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. God speaking there, having put my spirit on him. We notice that he also does not resort to self-advertising or self-promotion and arrogance. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. And then we see something that characterized the servant leadership of Jesus is he shows empathy towards broken and hurting people. That well-known verse, a bruised reed he will not break, a faintly burning wick he will not quench. So the contrast, and it's a very sharp contrast between natural leadership and spiritual leadership, is very clearly stated in Mark chapter 10, verse 42. And I read, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. So there we have someone on top of the pile, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. The underlying principle of the spiritual gift of leadership is servanthood, serving others, which challenges us. We can't bring the boardroom in the secular workplace and simply transpose that or transfer that into the council of the church. We need to be aware that attitudes and styles are different. Servant leadership is required in the church. And ask Jamie to put a definition up on the screen. Fairly unknown author by the name of John Mott. And I like this definition on spiritual leadership. And let me just run through it for us. Spiritual leadership is leadership in the sense of rendering maximum service. There's the underlying principle. It is leadership in the sense of the largest usefulness. It is leadership in the sense of full-hearted absorption in God and the greatest work of the world, building up the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that this kind of leadership has this underlying principle of servanthood, but consumed with the reality of God and serving the purposes and usefulness of kingdom work. The Apostle Paul in the verse in Romans 12 verse 8 says, the one who leads to do so with zeal. And so that moves us on to the second question then tonight. And as much as I'm asking, do you have the gift of spiritual leadership? Now I want to ask the question, are you a servant leader with zeal? Remember what I said at the beginning, leadership takes place at every level. I have to be asking myself tonight, is this true of me? What is not true of me? What do I need to adjust? What needs to change? And it's elders that need to be asking and thinking. It's deacons that need to be asking or thinking. But it's leadership at every level, whether it be leaders in men's ministry or youth ministry or ladies ministry or Sunday school ministry or internationals or any kind of ministry in the church, any one of us leading at any level, we need to understand and ask ourselves if we are leading with a spiritual gift and to do so with zeal. The three-legged pot is what I want to use now as an illustration. Something we use, we make poiki kos or we cook meat and other things in it. And just like that pot, the spiritual or zealous spiritual leadership is built on three legs. And I want us to explore those three legs in some of this remaining time. Now, when I jotted down my notes and I was thinking about these three different legs, there were various headings that I wanted to give each one of these legs of the pot of spiritual, zealous spiritual leadership. And I'll give you some of the ideas and then I'm going to take you through the ones that I chose. So some of the options I considered were, what are these three legs? That it must involve activity in the heart, activity from the mouth, and activity with the feet. You see where I'm going? Let's give you another example. Zealous spiritual leadership, there's development below the surface, what we do not see. There's development on the surface, and there's development above the surface. Putting it just in single words, zealous spiritual leadership affects one's attitude, one's intention, and action. Well, let me use now the phrases that I landed on. And the first one will go up on the screen. Zealous spiritual leadership must include what God sees. What is it that God sees inside of you, inside of me? Now, many years ago, and memories are fading, I did work in a factory context in a production facility, and I learned a lesson as a young man in those days employing different people to do different jobs. I remember having to employ a cost accountant, and I was so pleased when I found someone who had a master's degree in cost accounting and jumped at the opportunity and employed him and thought, this is the person that is going to be able to do the job. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare because he lacked attitude. He had real attitude issues, and eventually he left, and I was glad he left. Then I employed another man. He didn't have all the qualifications, but he had the right attitude, teachable spirit, willing to work hard. And so I believe that same principle applies when it comes to spiritual leadership. Genuine servant leadership will flow from the inside out. It's from the heart, from the attitude. It's from a heart that has been touched and stirred, that has continued to be touched and stirred by the person and, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit. The primary consideration, thinking about the book of Acts and Acts chapter 6, the selection of new leaders by the apostles. What was the primary consideration? Acts chapter 6, verse 3, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit. Didn't start by looking at the external abilities and qualifications. And don't get me wrong, those things are important. They can be important. But before that, it's attitude. Attitude, what God sees on the inside. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament is the book of Nehemiah. And again, because of leadership, really a man who displayed the spiritual gift of leadership, a man whose heart was tender toward God. What God saw was a tenderness and an affection and an inclination toward him. The first chapter of the book of Nehemiah shows us and displays this heart of a man who's burdened for God, but also burdened for the people of God. Just to give you one verse in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, this is the news about what the walls and the condition of the walls were in Jerusalem. I sat down and wept and mourned for days. I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Stirred on the inside, provoked on the inside. What God sees is evident in his life. And so in his context, leadership, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem emerges out of a heart motivated for God, by God, to the glory of God and the well-being of the people. It's not just about himself. It's primarily about God and the way that God will use him among people. And so we leaders need to ask ourselves, where are we at in our current status, in our walk with God, in our love for God, in our tenderness toward God, in our submission to God, in our heart inclination to God? Is there a stagnation spiritually? Is there staleness? Is there coldness? Is there hardness? Spiritual leadership will not be displayed. Ministry will be shallow. Ministry will be empty. It will be directionless. There will be no substance. And we'll see a focus on ministry that is given to form instead of substance. Not much attention and devotion to God, but more so spoken on the mechanics and the dynamics of the work. There will be a lot of emphasis and tendency to look out on self-interest of individuals and pragmatic success rather than on God and the agenda that he has set for his kingdom. Leaders at every level, each one of us need to be constantly searching our hearts, as David did in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So what God sees is crucial in spiritual leadership. The bottom line, and just before I move on to the second aspect of that three-legged pot, is there can be no compromise when it comes to spiritual leadership in our spiritual vitality as leaders. If you're a leader, we must nurture under God, dependent on God, our walk with him. But the second leg of the pot is what I've termed what others hear. There's a responsibility of the leader If he is going to lead people and influence people in maximum service and people who will give themselves to ministry and be absorbed with God and in the work of God, people need to see and people need to understand vision. They need to know where things are going. What's the point? What's the purpose? They need to know and see where they're going and who they're serving. And so leaders need to articulate clear vision. Again, if we go back to Nehemiah, he pointed out the present need of the condition of the wall, and it was really not in a good state. And he expressed what the future intentions were of rebuilding and restoring the wall to its former glory. Chapter 2, verse 17. You see the trouble we're in now? Our Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. So he's honest about where they're at, but expresses where they need to get to. He articulates vision. What about us in the local church? The outcome of God's redemptive plan, what is the vision of the church? It's not something we have to dream up. It's given us in the Bible. We have revelation. We have all of God's mind recorded and preserved for us in Scripture. And in Revelation 7:9, we are told what the end product is going to look like. Where are we heading? Even as Central Baptist Church, and I've repeated this again and again, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one can number. That's where we're heading. It's heaven and the throne of God. People from every nation, tribe and language standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And so we need to be busy bringing about leadership towards this God-given redemptive end. That's where it's going to end. Jesus said, I will build my church. He's going to be bringing people from different nations, different cultures. He's going to use the gospel being the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. And so the vision is clear. It doesn't matter where we are. If we're in Arcadia, that's what we do. If we're at the hill, that's what we do. When we spend money and support missionaries and we send them to the uttermost parts of the earth, that's what they need to do. They need to be working towards the vision, the clear vision of what God has determined. Every local context determined by leaders who are sensitive. Yes, God's providence. What is it that's happening around us? What has he provided? What is our present situation like? We need to be guided by the word of God, and we need to be involved as a congregation as we use our gifts. Leadership articulates that kind of vision. Spiritual leadership promotes God's agenda, not man's agenda. There's some clever things out there and we can get involved in and fads and fancies and all the rest of it, but that's short-lived. We must have the big picture in mind of preaching and teaching and encouraging and exhorting and inspiring and showing and motivating all the members using our gifts towards God's vision. So godly leaders do that. They hold this vision before the people, reaching forward, reaching outward, reaching onward on God's determined agenda. So what God sees was the first point. The second point, what others hear. What is it that you hear from us at Central? Are we promoting God's redemptive vision? And then thirdly, third leg of the pot of zealous spiritual leadership is what gets done. Leaders do things and leaders get others to get stuck in and do things as well. We notice again in Nehemiah that he had a heart for God, what God sees. He articulated the vision. We showed you that. And then together, they got the job done. Chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in 52 days. And if you look back at chapter 3 of Nehemiah, you'll see lots and lots of people alongside of Nehemiah getting their hands dirty, building, fixing, correcting, working towards the God-given vision. This only happens because leaders and people together understand with the help of their God. And I hope at Central we understand that, that whatever we do must be in total dependence on God the Holy Spirit. Apart from His enabling, apart from His working, all will be in vain. So good intentions are not enough. Great ideas, not enough. Discussions and decisions, not enough. Servanthood is what we need to apply in getting our hands dirty, getting involved in spiritual leadership. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, just a little bit further on in the passage, we'll read another verse. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. What we see in leadership in the New Testament, one of the passages that really inspires me is chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 28. Him we proclaim. You see, they understood the vision, gospel vision, gathering people of the nations toward the gathering of the throne at the end of the age. Him we proclaim, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. And so as I conclude this study, it's a challenge and challenge directly to me because I am in a leadership position and do trust that I don't lead the church from a natural leadership ability, but rather from a spiritual leadership stance. A verse that convinced me many, many years ago, Carol and I, to enter into ministry. And I often think about this verse and again was reminded of it in this study. And I shared with you in closing, may it be true of you and of many. God said, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Now, may this not be true. I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me on the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. May God find many men and women and young people and young adults who are willing to stand up and stand out, lead others and influence others for the sake of God and His glory and the gospel. Let me pray. Lord, we confess our need to grow in this area. I confess my own need just to be aware of continual dependence on You in leadership, to be directed by Your word, to be as those who are willing to get our hands dirty, to expend energy, as we see in this book of Colossians, doing so, understanding that we are servant leaders. And so we pray for each other. I pray for leaders in the different ministries of the Central Church, and may each one continue to learn and to grow and submit to You, having a heart for You, casting and reminding others of the vision that You have already set, and then getting involved and getting hands dirty. So pray for our church. May we be effective and useful, and may much good work be done to the glory of Your name. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we conclude now on just the final screen, which includes a few discussion questions. Invitation is take a snap, is it a screenshot, with your camera, your phone, and use these questions to discuss some of these issues, review some of these issues, challenge one another on these issues as well. So have a good night and God bless you.